one American at a time.
Welcome to America Tonight. We've been talking for the last couple of weeks about Libya, the latest in a series of chaotic places that where things are happening in the Middle East. But this particularly is of interest to so many of us as the United States has stepped in, courtesy of the UN. We've been talking about this. Tonight, the president, I think, defends his position on what's happening in Libya. He said it would be a betrayal of who we are to not prevent mass slaughter in that country. Each and every show, Talk Radio News joins us at the top. They got the skinny on what's going on inside the Beltway, what reverberates out of Washington, D.C. Victoria Jones joins us once again. Hey, Victoria.
Hi.
Libya, Libya, Libya. As we were saying while you were waiting in the green room, I'm going to ask you just on, because you cover the president, because you cover Washington.
Yes.
Just personally, if
yep.
you had to rate how Obama did in talking about Libya and answering a lot of questions the American public had and obviously politicians had, how do you think he did on a scale of 1 to 10?
I actually think he did pretty well today, actually. I think he didn't really soar, I don't think, until quite late into the speech, because a lot of it was business. So it wasn't really what I would call a soaring speech, but he did what he had to do. He set out, this is why we're there. So he did that. He said, this is why the mission is not to kill Gaddafi. He did that. What he didn't do is say, this is how long we're going to be there.
And the timetable, as you know, is what a lot of people are trying want to know. They want to know when, how much money are we going to continue to spend? Because U.S. jets are still in the lead on that no-fly zone, even though supposedly NATO takes over, as the president said on Wednesday. But what does that really mean? The U.S. is obviously still involved here. So that question wasn't answered, right?
Not at all. Wasn't addressed in the slightest bit.
Yeah. So do you think in watching what happens on the Capitol, you're still going to have the next day plenty of anti-Obama, I'll say anti-Obama politicians or anti-administration, the things that are happening in Libya, folks, a lot of the Republicans who will say, well, you know what, the timetable thing wasn't answered. I mean, that's probably pretty much what we'll hear, right?
Oh, yeah, and I think it's going to be more. I mean, I think that even though he made the argument about Benghazi and stuff and protecting Libyan people and all that kind of stuff, and he made the point it's what the Libyan opposition asked us to do. Now some reporter has probably gone to every single member of the Libyan opposition, finally come up with somebody who's attached to Al-Qaeda. You know, there's, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of members of the Libyan opposition, but he found one who's involved with Al-Qaeda. So now that the meme coming out, oh, they're all Al-Qaeda. So they've managed to do that. So they've managed to trash the entire Libyan opposition. So that's going to be the story. But also, I think that because he said there will be times, though, when our safety is not directly threatened, but our interests and values are, sometimes the course of history poses challenges that threaten our common humanity and common security. Responding to natural disasters, preventing genocide, keeping the peace, ensuring regional security, and maintaining the flow of commerce. These may not be America's problems alone, but they're important to us and they're problems worth solving. So that, I think some people might criticize him for almost saying that this is changing the nature of the military.
Absolutely. And you can hang it on the UN, but I think what you just said there is critical. It is changing really the mission of the U.S. military in many of these cases of what you just laid out for us. Absolutely. We're going to talk more about that, folks, here on America Tonight. Besides Iraq and the president and whether things are clearer about the U.S. mission or not, on the Hill, I don't think a lot's very clear on what's going to happen with the budget crisis. The White House now offering to pony up $20 billion more in cuts. So if my math is right, Victoria, that's $30 billion altogether for this, you know, solution. But
right.
We might, you know, are we going to see, is there any chance we're going to see a federal shutdown? What's going to happen on the 8th?
Well, there's a chance. We could see it. That's a possibility. And I think that they're starting to look as though they're realizing it would be a possibility. I actually think it's starting to focus their minds now. because people who have been saying, oh, no, the other side's going to be blamed, are starting to realize, well, actually, no, we could get blamed. Both sides are starting to say, well, we could get blamed. So you're going to see, you're going to see a lot more casting. Well, the Democrats are definitely doing this, and the Republicans are really doing this to really try and portray the other side as being the intransigent one.
Yeah. Well, tempers are starting to flare. The budget is, you know, the clock is ticking on that. I'm sure we're going to have many more conversations about it coming up in the next couple of days and heading into the following week, getting closer to the 8th. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, as always, thanks so much for your insights.
Thank you.
So it is all about the briefing, if you will, to the American people. Obama defending the action in Libya, saying that the U.S., as I mentioned, prevented a massacre. That's probably going to be the biggest quote that comes out of this. So the televised speech was, give or take, maybe about 30-some minutes plus, saying NATO's going to assume full control of the military. Here's the thing, and we check the facts of this deal. NATO, certainly, if you look at NATO, how much of NATO is the United States? And ding, 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 if you answered a big chunk of it is the U.S., you would be correct. So that's why in transferring command and control to NATO, really, the United States turns over the reins to a group really dominated by the U.S. politically, in a sense, and militarily, because that is the United States. 20% plus of the United States accounts for NATO, the funding. So much of that is from the United States. So the facts are that NATO, by the way, historically is pretty reluctant to put forces under any kind of foreign command. So America is not going to not be in the driver's seat with this whole thing, even if the public profile, will say, diminishes a tad. I don't think so. The Pentagon, in fact, has been turning a lot of the air power over to high-flying bombers, and that's what they're doing in trying to encounter these Libyan forces, Muammar Gaddafi's forces on the ground. So you have a lot of low-flying Air Force AC-130s, as someone explained it to me today, and A-10 attacked kind of aircraft. So, the Pentagon is considering drones, the dreaded drones and helicopters. And what Obama says is we continue to pursue a broader goal of a Libya that belongs not to a dictator, but its people. And to achieve that through diplomacy and political pressure, not with force of U.S. arms. And again, very specifically saying that there wouldn't be any ground troops. It was an interesting speech. I think he did defend his point of view well. But still, I don't believe that we got true clarity in this. I don't think that there are a lot of unanswered questions, including the big one, really the end game. We're going to talk about it next with Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert here on America Tonight.
Most of us eat a blend of processed, man-made, and all-natural food. But the food you eat may not provide all the nutrition your body needs. We now know that liquid vitamin supplements are absorbed faster than pills. That's why you need C-Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Sea vegetation is known to be the richest source of organic minerals, and that's what you'll find in all-natural, great-tasting Sea Energy. Sea Energy contains aloe vera, black cherry, cranberry, and pomegranate juices, plus ginseng, cat's claw, ginger, ginkgo biloba, and over 50 trace minerals needed for healthy metabolism, all from natural organic sea plant sources. Get a 10% discount by using promo code GCN at checkout when you order Sea Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. call 855-732-3637. That's 855-732-3637. Or go to AffinitySeaEnergy.com today.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
To America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. It's always fun to have our pal Jeff Atticott on, terrorism expert, especially after the president has spoken, which he did earlier in the evening, as you know. One of the things the president said, and I guess his main message was about the mission in Libya, he said it would be a betrayal of who we are not to prevent mass slaughter in Libya, but then emphasized we would not be involved in any way in taking Muammar Gaddafi out. Also took a slam at what happened in Iraq, saying Libya is no Iraq. But yet, if you remember, Saddam Hussein is one of those guys who slaughtered people. So I was a little confused on that. Wait a second. Libya wasn't a good thing, but Saddam was taken out, and he's one of those guys? I don't know. Maybe Jeff can shed some light on it. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Kate.
I'm just going to ask you this flat out. On a scale of 1 to 10, honestly, and I know how you feel about the Obama administration, but you can always point to specific things. How would you rate this speech?
Well, you know, as a law professor, I try to be lenient and try to give, you know, credit for effort. But, you know, as a commander-in-chief of our military and the greatest nation in the world, I you know, maybe a 1.5. Yeah, it was very disappointing, very confused. If you're a historian or you've been following any type of news in the last 5 years, many people from the left and the right have a lot of questions. If you're talking about humanitarian intervention, yeah, Saddam Hussein killed hundreds of thousands of his own people. Gaddafi maybe has killed 1,000 here, 1,000 there, nowhere near the same figures. Well, Mr. President, what about the Sudan? What about Darfur? You know, hundreds of thousands of people slaughtered, dispossessed, and you didn't send, you know, no words about that, not a peep. And all of a sudden, you know, we've got to commit our military to an action that you've given us very confusing signals over the last, 5 weeks now. We're going to get Gaddafi. Now we're not going to get Gaddafi. We're going to not lead the mission, although we did lead the mission. And now we're going to turn the mission over to somebody else. We've exceeded the Security Council authority for no-fly zones. The president did not go to Congress, did not consult with Congress about this. And his own, as we talked about last time, the people in his administration, they have different stories. It really is putting this country in a very confused, bad light to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I agree with you. And some people will call this show, a lot of people call the show, and they'll agree 100% with what you just said, and I have a similar take, and they'll agree with me. And then there'll be some people that will call up, and they'll say, well, wait a second. He didn't cross any boundary with this not going to Congress thing, because after all, there's some precedent here if you really go back. So why did he have to go to Congress? What would you say to that when they say, well, you know, he didn't have to consult Congress?
Yeah, I mean, I teach constitutional criminal law. No, he didn't have to go to Congress. I'd say he should have gone to Congress, because when you're using military force, it's always a good idea. But strictly speaking, no, the president has independent authority to make war, and we have to suffer the consequences of those decisions, whether they're good decisions or bad decisions. But no, the president has authority to conduct war under his Article II powers. But it's a good idea because, and of course, I would hope that the president watches his own tapes from, you know, all these tapes that are coming up where he criticized and talked about George Bush having to go to Congress, which, of course, he didn't have to go to Congress. And then he doesn't do the same thing that he thinks should be done. But strictly speaking, no, he didn't have to go to Congress. My critique is that, you know, when you commit American forces, if you've got the time, if it's not an emergency where we're being attacked, then it's probably a good idea to go to the Congress to get both branches of our government on the same sheet of music. He did not do that, still has not done it.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're speaking with terrorism expert Jeff Atticott. It would have been a good idea to consult Congress. And as you say, Jeff, all you have to do is go back, and he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, because he really went after Bush, saying that he should have done this, he should have done that when it came to what happened in Iraq, and here we go with Libya. So in looking at some of the things that he said on the speech front on Monday night, he said there were compelling reasons to get involved in Libya as opposed to, like, Yemen, Syria, Egypt, and several other countries in the Middle East, where you've got crowds, pro-democracy crowds, we'll call them, that are battling their authoritarian, you know, governments or dictatorships or whatever. So that was confusing to me, too, because in Syria, the bodies are already starting to fall, too. In Yemen, you and I have talked about that. Could there be a bigger hornet's nest? So what happens? Do we just, now it's all hands off? We already invested in Libya. Boom, we're done. That's it. What do you think should happen there?
Well, I was hoping for some honesty from the president. I mean, he talked for 30 minutes and didn't mention the 5,000-pound gorilla in the room, which is oil. I mean, basically, isn't that why we're really there? Isn't that why we're really concerned with Libya? Is because our national interest is tied very closely to oil, and that's really what should be the reason that we are concerned with Libya, is because of oil. I mean, that's a fact. But he can't say that, so he's got to talk about humanitarian issues. And that's ridiculous, because every day in the world there are humanitarian issues that would require us to deploy our troops to fully a third of the countries in the world right now to bomb them and try to shape them in some kind of a mold of quote-unquote democracy. These countries have no frame of reference for democracy. It's not a magic word like a wizard's incantation. You can say democracy and click your heels three times and it'll happen. There's no religious freedom in these countries. There's no freedom of speech. If anybody thinks that this country is going to turn into a democracy, you're kidding yourself, and I've got some land I want to sell you somewhere. It's going to be another dictator. What level of ruthlessness that person will have remains to be seen, and that's the big question. But my sense is that the president was led into this military campaign by European allies, and he buys into the notion that, you know, the world has to act, and he's going to be part of the world. And apparently he believes it to the point where he's going to commit us and then cut and run without victory. And that's not what America should be about. If we commit our military, we win. But, of course, the president can't define what win means. He can't do it in Afghanistan. He can't do it right now in Libya.
Yeah, and there is no end game here. The one thing you said is just the transfer of from the U.S. to NATO command. That'll happen on Wednesday. But what does that really mean, transferring to NATO command and control? We're still involved in that, right?
Yeah, of course we are. We've done 95% of the heavy lifting has been by the United States of America. And if we're going to turn it over to NATO, I'm not very, I guess, I'm not very sure what that means and what NATO can do ultimately when nobody really has set out a clear goal. And again, if your goal is to remove Gaddafi from power, which the president early on said he must go, and now he's saying, no, that's not the goal. We'd like him to go. But those are conflicting goals. You have to have clarity in terms of national security if you're going to hope that deterrence works and keeps other dictators in line. And we simply have no clarity. It's just the same old sevens and sixes. Now, the American people, of course, particularly conservatives, they rally around the flag. Anytime our soldiers go out and do something, rightfully so, we're very patriotic. But as I predict, as the weeks go forward, you're going to see people questioning, what are we doing? And it just won't be the left that's against this war. You're going to see conservatives turn against it because they see that it's not effective. There's no national interest. And it's just, an affair that is costing us. We're going to be approaching $1 billion here pretty soon with the cost.
Yeah. And the money factor is huge in this one because, as you said, the Sudan, other places, Darfur, that where we could have, if it's all about humanitarian, we absolutely could have jumped into the fray there. How about this? Should the president, do you think, if you're playing it from the other side, should the president have addressed the nation sooner?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Anytime you use the military in that way, you address the nation from the Oval Office, not on your way out to a vacation, and you don't wait for days after you get back from this vacation to do an address at a school. He still has not addressed the nation from the Oval Office and told the American people very clearly what we're doing, because basically he doesn't know what he's doing. And you can't make the case for humanitarian intervention very clearly and rationally, when there's so many other countries that have suffered even more under dictatorships and we've never done anything in the past. So there's no case to be made. And again, the real answer is oil, and he won't make that case because, you know, oil is evil, and big business is evil. Therefore, he has to come up with something else. So it's you can almost see that he regrets his decision, but now he's trying to backpedal as quickly as he can and spin it in such a way that,
yeah.
I don't think the American people are drinking the Kool-Aid on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. In fact, U.S. polls show that most think that the uprisings aren't going to lead to democracy. There was a 60-minute Vanity Fair poll. There's so many that are done. And then only 26% of the people that they talked to said that there would be democratic forms of government even in 10 years in any of these places, Libya, Tunisia, Yemen, any of them. So, this is what we always talk about. And again, a major disappointment, I think, from that perspective for sure. Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, as always, thanks so much for popping on America Tonight.
Thanks, Kate. My pleasure.
Freedom, the blistering anti-globalist anthem from the rock band Ravelin.
Back in thrones, have their tomb. Flakes of velvety, with the moon.
Just one of 11 great songs from their album Under the Sun. Available on iTunes and at Ravelin.com. Ravelyn. Ravelin.com. Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with OrganicaSeed.com. Easy because OrganicaSeed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to OrganicaSeed.com, spelled OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com. Remember, OrganicaSeed is healthy seed.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe 1 decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump-outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe 1 septic solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafe1.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafe1.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe 1, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Is holding a major, what he's calling, economic conference in just a couple of weeks. Why should you care, America? Dan Gaynor, Media Research Center's VP for Business and Culture, joins us now to tell us why. Dan, why should the American public care about what George Soros is doing with this so-called economic conference?
Well, it's because he only wants to remake the entire global economy the way he wants it. And that sounds like, you know, crazy talk. Oh, you must be a conspiracy theorist or something like that. But it's not a conspiracy when they are really trying to do this. Back in 2009, October 27th of 2009, George Soros came out with a brand new group that he was funding called INET, Institute for New Economic Thinking. Okay, it sounds nebulous, but he spent $50 million committed to this group. Okay, that's great. A week later, he wrote an op-ed that ran a whole bunch of places but didn't get much attention, saying how he wanted to remake the global economy. He wanted to do this by having what he called a new Bretton Woods. Yeah, you have to be a little bit of a history geek to remember this, but back at the end of World War II, 1944, the United States and all the other Allied powers got together to talk about what the global economy would be like after the war. Well, they held it at Bretton Woods, New Jersey. He is scheduling an event through this group just next, on April 8th, and the whole discussion is about how to remake the global economy. Now, the fact that he's doing this at all is one thing. The fact that he's doing this with a group that he announced the creation of 1 week before
He did this op-ed saying how he wants a new Bretton Woods to totally remake the global currency, reorganize the World Bank, the IMF. Oh, he also wants to remake the U.S. Security Council. All of them are designed to make what? The United States weaker. He wants to raise up the international powers, particularly China. And who suffers as a result? The United States.
Yeah. And I guess the answer is that the if Soros left unchecked to his own devices, if he keeps pushing this ball down the hill, so to speak, and it just starts to gain more and more momentum, and before you know it, we close our eyes, and voila, we do have, it's like currency, we do have one world currency. And what would that do? Because somebody said to me the other day, well, what does that do if we change the currency? I mean, hello, well, I can tell you about 50 different things, but what would you say?
It makes the American currency a lot weaker, which means any money you have in the bank, an investment or something like that, becomes worth less than it is today.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good for you. It's great if you're the United States government, you have a massive amount of debt. Just picture your own life. Let's say you owe $100,000. Well, I mean, if I owed $100,000, I mean, I don't know what I'd do. You know, I'd be working 7 days a week, 365, and try to pay it off. But if the United States government, and you are trillions of dollars in debt, and suddenly that debt becomes worth 75 cents of the dollar, you suddenly owe less money. So it makes sense from not so much the United States government, because then people don't trust the government as much, you know, to borrow. But it makes sense if you're somebody who's a currency trader like George Soros. At the same time, it takes the United States down a peg, maybe creates this new global currency. George Soros is a big believer in what he calls open society, this sort of global, you know, one world order kind of thing. And he hasn't liked the United States since we elected George Bush. Back in 2004, when George Bush ran for re-election, George Soros spent $27 million trying to get George Bush defeated. And since then, in 2005, he and a whole bunch of other rich lefties got together and said, we're going to create the infrastructure to fill out all these organizations that you see in the news now. They threw tons of money at them so that they could defeat the right, not just in 2008, but forever. And so the more that we pay attention to what he wants, the worse of a deal it is for America.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Dan Gaynor, Media Research Center. And Dan, I think one of the things that's troubling is when you look at the speakers, and in a piece that you wrote, you laid this out, and the first name that caught my attention, I mean, actually there was a couple of them, but Paul Volcker is the chairman of Obama's Economic Advisory Board. How troublesome is that? I mean, he's one of the main guys speaking on this. Are you kidding me?
Well, Volcker is a, you know, people remember, okay, he worked in Reagan administration, but still, he is another Soros guy. In fact, more than two-thirds of the people, when I wrote that out there, more than two-thirds, and then we did another tally because they've added a bunch of people, and it's still more than two-thirds of the people that they are speaking have direct, identifiable ties to Soros and his operation. So think about this for a second. He's calling in people from around the world, from China, from, you know, the third world, etc., all across Europe. They're coming to this conference, and they're going to say, here's what we think should happen. And idiotic journalists, many of whom are attending this conference, who have not written about it, they're going to come out and say, oh, yeah, look at all these smart people, all these economic experts, all these global experts. They're going to get together and say, see, we should do this. And so it's going to be, what they're trying to do is fix the deck, deal you a hand, and say, see, this is a hand you dealt. You should go with it. We should not agree to this. And so whether it's Volcker or Jeffrey Sachs, another one of Soros' buddies, he gave $15 million to Sachs, because Sachs is in the U.N. Millennium Development Fund. He runs that also. He in fact, worked together for years on all sorts of things. Joseph Stiglitz, another one of these guys, he ran the Socialist International Response Conference to talk about the global economic downturn. These are hardcore lefties, most of them in George Soros' pocket, obviously, not even like it's not even debate. And to have them deciding the future of the U.S. currency and the global economy would be disastrous to America.
Yeah, I agree with you, absolutely. And what's interesting is, and I'm glad you're screaming and shouting at the top of your lungs to get people to pay attention to this, but why is it just a blip on the radar screen? Well, I don't understand. When we talk about the economy, we talk about money. I say all the time on America Tonight, follow the money. And I know there are smarter people than myself who are very well schooled in the monetary system and write about the monetary system, that why aren't they writing about this? Why isn't anybody connecting these dots? Not very often, anyway.
Well, I mean, I think part of it is a lot of the media people who would connect these dots are in on it. And I don't mean they sound like, oh, this is a serious global conspiracy, and, you know, people are like, put tin foil on their heads. No. I mean, there are, as of right now, six journalists among the roughly 90 people who are scheduled to speak. And of those, the only news outlet that has had anything on this, it hasn't officially happened even yet. The Wall Street Journal, Opinion Journal, is running my op-ed from last week. So there's one of the Wall Street Journal people who's going to be speaking. Okay, I'll cut them some slack. They're running my op-ed. I can't really complain. But are they doing news stories on it? No. Reuters, Financial Times, the Times of London, you know, all these different news outlets, where are they covering this? No. Because the people who are sort of in the know are also speakers.
Yeah, so, they're in cahoots in a way.
Yeah. No, not in a way. It's not in a way. I mean, one of these, Chrystia Freeland, has covered Soros for like a decade or more. You see her, there's a pretty famous video about Soros talking about the future of China and how he sees China rising and the power of China, how important that is. And she is the one interviewing Soros in that video.
Yeah.
And you see a video, there's a video her, she's interviewing Soros and Rob Johnson, who's the head of INET, this economic group. And all she's tossing them are softball questions. So while she is an editor for Reuters, she might as well be a press flack for Soros, because that's pretty much her, the job she's doing. And I read a bunch of things she's written about Open Society, that Soros' $7 billion charity that he funds around the world to boost the world and not boost the United States. That's what she does. She writes kind of PR material for them.
Yeah, no kidding. So we could come around to the end of this and say, just keep following the money. And if you keep following the money, you'll see what really the true interests are.
Yeah, but it's more than that. I mean, one of the things people have asked me, well, what do I do? Well, if you're worried about this, and frankly, this is, of all the things I've covered in my entire career, this is the thing that has scared me the most. Because I'm afraid this is going to happen, and I feel like the crazy conspiracy John Grisham novel kind of guy who's screaming about something and nobody's paying attention to. If you're worried about this, call your congressman. Call your news outlets and say, why aren't you covering this? Why aren't you having hearings about this? I want to know why this is flying under the radar. You need to get involved, whether it's media people or congressional people.
Absolutely. Power to the people. We say that all the time, too, here at America Tonight. Don't just sit on your laurels. Like Dan says, send an email, get on the phone. The more pressure you apply to someone who's in politics because they want to get reelected again, the better chance of a response. The more.
Yeah, I'll tell you, if you call, you're a lot harder to ignore if you're on the phone than if you send an email.
Yeah, I agree. The more you pound the phones, the better. Dan Gaynor, Media Research Center's VP for Business and Culture, thanks for opening our eyes to this one on Soros. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Good to do it without you.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy to use 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists to help clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge. Stops costly pump outs and repairs and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Daddy, I'm hungry.
That little girl will get fed, for now. But what if people like Glenn Beck are right about the threats we face? If the U.S. dollar loses its status as the global reserve currency, prices on the things you need most will skyrocket. Food may be unaffordable, or worse, unavailable. Earthquakes, economic turmoil, continuing unemployment, rampant inflation, and even threats of terrorism are all reasons to let the experts at Ready Reserve Foods help you with a long-term food storage plan. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storage foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available worldwide. Their products have a shelf life of 25 years, and a year's supply of quality food for two people only takes up about as much space as a refrigerator for a fraction of what you now pay at the grocery store. You owe it to your family to find out more from Ready Reserve Foods. Call today for their free full-color catalog at 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
America tonight with me, Kay Delaney, to the question of Livium, why you care in your own backyard across this great nation? And the answer is because of a lot of things. One, the money situation with how much money is being spent in Libya and where we aren't defending humanitarian reasons. You know, why we aren't in other places where there's more atrocities for humanitarian reasons, like Sudan and several other places. We talked about that, obviously, with Jeff Atticott, and I mentioned it several times on the show. Nothing's done there, and we know you look at the Somalian pirate situation. I mean, we could certainly come up with a lot of examples of people who are doing heinous, atrocious things to people in their own country. In the case of Libya, Gaddafi, of course, is a bad guy, a dictator, who is a cold-blooded thug. But one we supported, by the way, off and on. It's been a precarious relationship for how many decades? 4 decades. So is this guy cracking? And after all that was said in the speech, the bottom line is the president said there was no way we would go on the ground. We would be on the ground. We'd have troops there. And we didn't want it to turn into a situation like Iraq was. So, therefore, this, you know, we're Americans and we don't stand by and watch this. We had a responsibility to act. What do you say? Did the president change your mind on anything where Libya is concerned, or our presence, the money spent there, all that kind of stuff? I'm going to throw out the number, 800-259-5791. Keep it closed, 800-259-5791, or shoot me an email on your thoughts, americatonight.net. Of course, going through some of the facts of it, which I've already done at the top of the show, the NATO example, well, who is NATO? Would we, you know, actually with what is being spent, I mean, are we done here? No, the answer is no, because, of course, there's going to be drones, if nothing else. And what about the whole deal with Congress and the fact that Obama didn't make his case, the president didn't make his case to Congress, even though if you go back to some of the past statements that he's made saying, you know, look, president should always get congressional authorization before taking country to war, absent a threat that to the nation that cannot wait. And we know clearly, legally, he can do this, but it's a question of saying in the past you need to inform Congress. Obama's defense secretary, Robert Gates, who's been the defense secretary in two different, very different administrations, says that the crisis in Libya was not a vital national interest to the United States, but it was an interest. Isn't it curious, the semantics of words and how we place them and the emphasis we place on some of them? Here's a little snippet of what the president had to say in his Monday evening address to the nation.
When our interests and values are at stake, we have a responsibility to act. That's what's happened in Libya over the course of these last 6 weeks. Confronted by this brutal repression and a looming humanitarian crisis, I ordered warships in the Mediterranean. The international community offered Gaddafi a final chance to stop his campaign of killing or face the consequences. 9 days ago, after consulting the bipartisan leadership of Congress, I authorized military action to stop the killing and enforce UN Security Council Resolution 1973. Born as we are, out of a revolution by those who longed to be free, we welcome the fact that history is on the move in the Middle East and North Africa, and that young people are leading the way. In this particular country, Libya, at this particular moment, we were faced with the prospect of violence on a horrific scale. We had a unique ability to stop that violence.
All right, so will the violence be stopped? Gaddafi showing some signs of cracking a little bit, of course, the more he's pushed back with the airstrikes and whatever. I said in a couple of weeks ago, will we ever see that shot, the helicopter, he's escaping, you know, basically at the last moment. And the answer is we might not ever see that shot, but how long does he dig in? And then the question becomes, what's next? Who's next? What administration steps in? And the interesting thing is, in talking about Libya, talking about Egypt, talking about Tunisia, not to be cynical, but if I were a betting person, do you really think our form of democracy is going to be in any of those countries I just mentioned, or even some form of a democracy? Some of you have even written to me and have said, listen, here's the scoop. Okay, if the United States is helping out and playing the rescuer, the bottom line is the United States still should not be able to set up the type of government or regime it would like to see. Therein lies the problem. So the president, in his nationally televised address, stressed that he would not commit the U.S. military to offing Gaddafi or toppling his regime, saying that a goal like that would actually fracture the coalition and require ground forces, and that this mission is not about that. It's just about stopping a deadly advance and keeping the pressure on him as the rebels are fighting it, that they can determine their own destiny, and that's what it should be. So then I started thinking to myself, wow, and how much are we pumping into this that I hope, like, they pick a great destiny that we can agree with? Let's hope they don't get somebody worse in power there. So this is 9 days after military action in support of a UN-approved no-fly zone. And here's the thing. Do you want to see people slaughtered? The answer to that is no. I guess truly the problem is what it always seems to be. It's the response. It's how quickly we respond. It's the back and forth and the decision. It's almost like, okay, we're going to take this step, but we really should have done this immediately. We didn't. Now we're positioning it to bring it around again. I mean, you know what I mean. It is. It's a very strange labyrinth of where we're headed in Libya and in the Middle East in general. So the president used the speech to outline what might happen in the future. The United States, may intervene abroad to prevent humanitarian crisis in other places? If international partners are involved, provided they're also involved. So, that leaves you with a question, too. And this president delivered this address about the U.S. military action, not from the Oval Office, but before a military audience at the National Defense University in Washington, D.C., which is just kind of interesting. It was one of the first things I noticed when I got the announcement earlier in the day. I don't know if to any of you out there that has any significance. I think it has a little bit of a significance. So he spoke a week after our forces started launching missiles into Libya. But does that matter? Did Obama change your mind? Here was the Democratic response. The House Democratic leader, Nancy Pelosi, said the same thing the president said. Look, the military intervened to stave off a humanitarian crisis. This is where we're going with this. You think it had nothing to do with oil? Nobody said anything about oil. And you had other responses like John McCain, who said, listen, Gaddafi has to go. I mean, he's the ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. He said, look, the dictator has to fall. That, yes, we're comforted by the speech, and I liked his choice of words. We're somewhat comforted by the president's speech, but Gaddafi has to go. Because if we end up in a situation where Gaddafi is able to cling to power, then we could see a reenactment of what happened after the first Gulf War. Remember what happened there? Stalemate. 10 years. And Saddam Hussein took a long time to be knocked out of power. I'm just saying. Send me your thoughts, AmericaTonight.net.
You will respect my authority.
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get out.